Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, October 19th of 2020. And I am your host for this evening, the Miracle Man. And I'm so glad you've made the determination to tune into the broadcast tonight to learn more from the Word of the Lord. And obviously we'll be talking sports as well, discussing what happened and over the weekend in the world of sports. All right. So, couple things I wanted to bring to your attention. One of them, listeners, is I want you to go online to riversofmiracles.com and check out the book that we wrote about me, you know, the God that my mom believed in, you know, and of course I believe in him also, and we've been believing for all the miracles of my life to be made manifest, and I've had many miracles manifest in my life, and still yet to have many more be made manifest in my life, and and I'm just so grateful to be a Christian. And so go to the website and check that out. In addition, if you want to donate to the Miracle Man Show, you can go to riversshukla@gmail.com. Once again, that is riversshukla, R-Y-V-E-R-S-H-U-K-L-A @gmail.com. And you can donate as much as you'd like to donate. Everything that you donate will go to the ministry. Amen. Amen. Now, can you grab me a glass of water, please?
Yeah.
Yep. So, for those of you who are wondering why did I cut off early Wednesday, I had a sore throat, was battling some symptoms. Every once in a while now, I just have a little bit of a coughing fit. But other than that, for the most part, we're basically good to go. Just drinking, taking some sips right now so that it stays crisp and doesn't get raspy by any means. But I want to thank you guys for praying for me. It really means a lot. Of course, now my pastor, I don't mean it like of course, but I mean like now my pastor was a little bit under the weather. He never preached yesterday at my, and to be honest with you, listeners, we are in the fall season, so now we have flu season as well, and other ailments did not go on holiday or vacation just because COVID is here. No. These other things are still going around. We have to pray for our bodies. We have to pray over our food and our drink. And I think of that verse in Exodus where it says, "You shall bless thy bread." Of course, it didn't say what kind of bread. Could be white, wheat, pumpernickel, rye, raisin cinnamon bread. I don't know. And you shall bless thy water. Notice there, God didn't say what kind of water. Could be clean, could be dirty, could be purified, reverse osmosis, distilled, I don't know, could be out of the lake or the river or the creek or the tap. I don't know. But he said, you shall bless thy bread and thy water, and none of these sicknesses and disease will come upon you. Amen. And right now, I figured with, right now, we're dealing with we got cold and flu season starting up again. And we have a surge in COVID cases. I rebuke it. And you may say, well, Miracle Man, are you worried about the surge in cases? Well, let me say this. I'm not worried about it. I'm not saying it's not serious, but here's what I will say. God is on our side. He is. He's fighting for us. God is moving on our behalf. And if you're worried about it, ask God to help you, because, and I know my state set a record a few days ago. Today would have been a record day, except for it contained 2 days of data. Nonetheless, like I said, I'm not really like that worried about it. What I'm doing instead is just praying to God, believing God, cursing the virus, taking authority over it. And just, you know, doing that, you know, taking authority over it. And you may say, are you tired of this virus stuff? Yes. Yes, very much. I just want everything open back full. And furthermore, if I hear about masks again, and if I hear about another ventilator, it might not be too pretty. Might be a showdown at the OK Corral. I've just heard it as a figure of speech. I was going to say, if you're under a certain age, don't worry about it. But I'm only 31, and I don't know what showdown at the OK Corral means. Do you know what it means, Megan? But do you know the meaning of showdown at the OK Corral? Neither do I, listeners. I don't know what showdown at the OK Corral is. I figure it out. But for tonight, I'm not going to worry about it. but anyhow, I'm just believing God, you know. God's on our side. Amen. And he's fighting for us. And I'm so grateful to be saved. I really am. Now, real quick, want to let you know that for programming note, that next week I will be traveling to Kentucky to see my brother for a few days. That being said, plan on a Monday night show and a Tuesday night show, but a Wednesday night show, I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to see. It all depends. Now, I want to encourage you all to vote biblical. You can go check your voter registration to make sure that you're registered to vote, because it's very important that you make your vote count. And you got to make sure that you vote Bible. Don't just vote based on your pocketbook. Vote Bible. And oh, you're going to vote for someone based on how they're going to vote, that based on how they handle the virus? I'd be more worried about the rights of the church. Vote Bible. Don't just vote a certain way because of how they do or don't wear the mask. But I mean, and people like to say, he's la 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 mask, la 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 la. Don't focus on the person. Focus on the policies. The policies. The platform. Who's pro-life? Who's anti-life? Who's pro-Bible? Who's anti-Bible? Pro, you know, freedom of Christianity. Who's not for it? Who's against gay marriage? Who's for it? And, you know, vote that way. Vote Bible. There's a verse you're still going to hear it the next couple weeks from me. That verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14. No, don't delete it. Don't delete it. Don't delete me either. 2 Corinthians 7:14. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, if they seek my face and they turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Thank you, Jesus, for that. You know, and I just think about that. And that's why, you know, well, part of our responsibility as Americans and Christians is to vote. And I would like to say, too, you know, vote Christian. Vote And we hear a lot about interest groups. God's an interest group. Amen. Because they talk about it all the time. I've heard it for years and years and years and years before I could even vote. Back around the 2004 election, I was in eighth grade. I was paying attention to things like that. And even though I could not vote yet, I saw it as important so that when I could, a couple of years later, that I would be ready to. All right. And so, obviously, Election Day is 14 days from tomorrow, November 3rd. One day before Megan's birthday. And that's kind of wild to think about, that you were basically born the day right before an election. You know that, Megan? You were born the day before the 1996 election. Yep, because it was the 1996 election when, you know, we just got to do our part, Christians. We got to pray over our president. Doesn't even hurt to pray for Biden. Pray that God, you know, turn Biden's heart, that Biden would turn his heart towards God. I'm going to sing a couple of... Oh, and first of all, this program has been brought to you by your local McDonald's, where you can go and grab yourself in any size Coca-Cola fountain drink for the low price of just $1 a piece. All day, every day. You can't go wrong. All right. Now I'm going to sing you a couple songs. And then we're going to go to Romans 8. And we're going to talk tonight about being led by the Spirit of God. Amen. The one who made the blind to see is moving here in front of me, moving here in front of me. The one who made the deaf to hear, silencing my every fear, silencing my every fear. I believe in you, I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you, I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. The one who does impossible is reaching out to make me whole, reaching out to make me whole. The one who put death in its place. His life is flowing through my veins. His life is flowing through my veins. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. The God who was and is to come. You're the power of the risen one. You're the God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. You're the God who was and is to come. You're the power of the risen one. You're the God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. You're the God who, I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I give miracles. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. You turn graves into gardens. You turn songs into armies. Foes into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who came. You turn graves into gardens. You turn foes into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who came. I searched forever. We couldn't find anything. You took my weakness. You can show me your love. You show me your ways. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. And there's nothing, nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing, nothing is better than you. So I searched the world, I couldn't find nothing. I am amazed the kindness you made. Mm-hmm. You're coming back in the grace and the way. There's nothing better than you are. There's nothing better than you are. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you, Lord. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You take beauty from ashes. You turn sun into valley. You're the only one who came. You turn graves into gardens. You turn foes into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who came. You turn mourning to dancing. You take beauty from ashes. You give mountains and valleys. You're the only one who came. You turn graves into gardens. You turn foes into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who came. You're the only one who came. You're the only one who came. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You turned graves. You turned the grave into a garden, Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are, for what you've done in us, for what you're going to do in us tonight, and for what you've already started, and that through you we have everything that we need, and that you're meeting our needs tonight. Every need that's represented here tonight by every one of these listeners, whatever it is, you know the needs more than I do, and I give you praise and honor and glory for that. And I thank you that I give you, Jesus, I give you permission to come on scene and interrupt me as you wish tonight. And I just thank you, Lord, for this great word. And I just thank you that you, oh God, I just would strengthen us as we learn more about you tonight, Heavenly Father.
Push your cord in a little.
Which way? Why, what's that do?
It was picking up
on you. Oh, no. There you go. Oopsie. And I just thank you, Lord God, for that. For what you're doing. In the name of Jesus. And now, Heavenly Father, I make my confession over this program. Thank you that sponsors and partners come into this program, that increases in listenership come in, that finances come into this program, and most importantly, Jesus, I thank you for a huge amount of souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Now say this, listeners. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. This book is more than a history book to me. It's more than a story book to me. Tonight, I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Turn with me, please, to the book of Romans chapter 8. Amen. Romans 8. Romans is, of course, the book right after the Acts of the Apostles. And like I said, tonight we're going to be teaching on being led by the Spirit of God. Being led by the Spirit of God. Amen. I want to encourage you, whatever I do for the next bit, I sing, you sing, I pray, you pray, you know what, you know, whatever. Whatever I do here, you do there. And I believe as you participate, you'll receive everything that God has for you. Amen. Romans 8. I'm just going to believe that you were turning there while I was talking. And we're going to begin, yep, with verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, capital S, the law of the Spirit of life, set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit of God have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of a sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God, does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Yet your spirit is alive because of, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature, by the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those, for as many who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave according to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs of Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. What, Megan, what were you telling him?
Oh, I was just telling him. Oh,
that what?
No.
Sorry. In his glory. And it says, verse 18 now. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. And the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits grown inwardly as we wait eagerly and our adoption of sons, the redemption of our bodies, for in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for. But the Holy Spirit himself, he intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. For he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, who will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? And who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger, sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All right. So, nice chapter. Dealing with, of course, the Holy Spirit. First of all, if you're a Christian, if you're in Christ Jesus, if you're a Christian, there's no condemnation. And the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. You see, God set us free from the law of sin and death. So we don't have to live under that curse anymore. No, we don't have to live under the curse anymore. Oh, the Spirit of life and death. And so, Repo Man movie. Simple Man or whatever that era. So I just miss who law might be fully met in us, dude. And of course, if you live in by the sinful nature, of course, you'll live according based on what your sinful nature desires. Of course, the mind of the sinful nature is dust. But if your mind is controlled by the Spirit of God, that brings forth life and peace. You can't please God if you're living under the sinful nature. In verse 9 here, it says, we are controlled We are led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And if the Spirit of God lives in us, he belongs to Christ. If he doesn't have the Spirit of God, if you don't have the Spirit of God living within you, you don't belong to Christ. So it's simple as that. If Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. But because of righteousness, your spirit man is alive. The Spirit of him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living in you. Who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal body. He will quicken your mortal body. Strengthen it. Now I remember one time Dr. Barclay read this verse, and he was kind of many years ago, and he was kind of being funny, and he teased and he said, you know, you have bloodshot eyes, migraine headaches, and prickly heat in your flanks. Sounds kind of funny, doesn't it? Prickly heat? Yeah, you can just sit there, and that's how you get prickly heat. And you don't know what, and you just be sitting there, and you don't know what on earth happened. But that Spirit of God gives life to your mortal body. Through his Spirit, through the Spirit of the Lord, who lives in us. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, if you're led by the Spirit of God, you are called a son or daughter of God, a child of God. And by the way, listeners, that's regardless of age bracket. We are children. Then we are heirs. Heirs of God. Co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. So, let's talk about this whole Spirit of God thing. You know, if you're living by the Spirit of God, the power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us, those of us who are led by the Spirit of God. And that same spirit, it quickens our mortal body. our mortal body. And obviously, you don't want to live in the flesh. You want to live by the Spirit. So live by the Spirit. You have a lot more app for your foot to say, ouch, ache. Do I really have to go to church again? I'm so tired. Do I really got to go to church? Church is at 7. We don't get done until about 8:30, 8:40. That's the way you see it. When I was little, it used to be 9:30. 9 o'clock, 9:30. Now it's 8:30, 8:40. Oh, and try Sunday mornings, listeners. Try Sunday mornings. Not usually now it's like 11:30, 11:40, 45, 50. Sometimes it used to be 12:30 back in the day. Now as little that we would get out of 12:30. Now it's 11:45 and some people still get prickly heats because they're hungry. I was just in a Sunday morning service about a month ago. Dr. Buckley saying something. Somehow someone's phone speaks out loud in the church and says, starting route to China Palace. Isn't that hilarious, Josh? And he didn't even mention palace, and it said out loud, starting route to China Palace. Wow, phone. That does not, to me, listeners, that doesn't sound like a phone led by the Spirit. Unless the listeners, maybe he was, the person was just thinking it or something, I don't know. But it went off. It was a road like maybe behind us, in front of us, I don't know. I just know it was close to us, and it was in the middle of him. He was just about to take the second offering. And he, but, you know, but no, we're led by the Spirit of God. And if we're led by the Spirit of God, you see, Spirit of God, if we are led by the Spirit of God, we are the sons and daughters, the children of God. Not the children of the devil, not the children of the earth, the children of God. And if you're led by the Spirit of God, you might have people come up to you and say, there's something different about you. You're nice. You're just, no, you're not perfect, but you seem to be really focused. And you seem to be, you know, and if you're led by the Spirit of God, then you shouldn't be feeling condemned. You should not feel condemned if you're led by the Holy Spirit. No, you should not feel like you are, and you can even be skilled in the Holy Spirit. Which I'll be talking to you about a bit tomorrow evening. And you're led by the Spirit of God. Sometimes the Holy Spirit can talk to you audibly. Other times, you might not hear it in your ear, but you might just hear it, like, in your mind. And you just know that God's trying to nudge you and trying to get to you, trying to tell you something. Maybe you just hear it in your brain and you don't necessarily hear it audibly. And I'm sure my pastor even could tell you. Sometimes he hears from God audibly a lot. And the Spirit will tell him a lot, do this, don't do this, do this, lay hands on these certain people. And if the Holy Spirit says, do it, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if, for whatever reason, my pastor doesn't want to do it at the time. Maybe it could be, I planned on doing this, and then I planned on doing this, and then I planned on laying my hands on these certain people, taking the second offering and closing down the meeting. Or different things like that. So even in a service, the pastor has to be open with the Holy Spirit and say it. What if you're really keen into the Spirit? And you're trying to, and you're sitting there eating dinner at your house, but then the Holy Spirit tells you, I want you to go to 1633 Edward Street, pray over that family. You do, this husband and wife will be healed. If you're led by the Spirit of God, and you have that discernment, He'll lead you and guide you. And I think about something. I forget whether it was Hilton Sutton or George Evans or Roy Hicks. But one of them told Pastor this, and they said, I see in the last days people being in an airplane, in airplanes. And they're, you know, they got their luggage with them and they're going onto the airplane. They go to their row, have a seat, you know, put their stuff in the bin, you know, doing the pre-flight rituals. And then, of course, the flight attendants are coming around and near the front, the middle, the back of the plane, you know, and that. And then you know, or so they'll be coming back to the back of the plane, but then fill up my spirit. Maybe, I mean, this could happen. The pastor said, he said, I can see this in the Spirit. And he says, I just see people saying, you know what? I need to get off this plane. Excuse me, Mrs. Stewardess, I have to leave now. And so they leave the aircraft, go back into the airport lobby way, and then not too many minutes later, they see something on the news that that airplane that they were supposed to be on crashed. And everyone who was on it died. Or people in these, he also said, you know, I see people in these restaurants. You know, he didn't say what city and state, you know, or country or whatever, but that I see people in these restaurants. They'll be in there getting situated, order their food, order their Coca-Colas. Maybe they even have their Coca-Colas to drink, maybe even. Or their waters or whatever, you know, you drink at the restaurant. But, you know, they got their drinks, and then suddenly they feel a tug in their spirit. And then they have to grab the waitress. I tell the waitress, the waiter, excuse me, I have to leave. Something came up. They walk right out. So they walk right out of that restaurant. And a few minutes later, blows up. This pastor, one of Pastor's fathers in the faith, told Dr. Barclay that he saw this happening in the last days. You know, I heard stories of people who did not go into work at the time they were supposed to on 9/11. And they felt something tugging on them, saying, don't go into work at a certain time. And then that saved their life. Because what if they went in? They would have died. They could have died. This is the Twin Towers on 9/11. And just the different ways they can be led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will protect you. You're not just some silly spooky thing. No, the Holy Spirit's a protector. God cares. God cares about us. He cares about you and me. God said, whom I love, I chasten. The love of God is correct. The love of God leads us and guides us. And if we're led by the Spirit of God, you know, we're the sons of God. And he protects us and helps us. And he strengthens us. And he makes a way for us where there seems to be no way. God makes a way. Amen. 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 And all the different situations that you can think of that God can, you know, lead you, guide you, protect you. When you're led by the Spirit, you know, you'll be able to have that. Lord, I thank you right now for this word. I thank you that we would have discernment and be able to discern, like when you're trying to tell us things, and that we would be led by your Spirit, Lord God, first and foremost, not just by our own little intuitions and our own little thoughts and our own little, you know, here's what I think and here's my modus operandi. But no, they would be led by your Spirit, Heavenly Father, that quickens our mortal body. And I thank you, Lord God, that we would just put this word into practice in our lives. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Amen.
on. Thank you very much.
All right. In terms of sports, yesterday you had the Lions win a nice game, 36-14 over the Jacksonville Jaguars down in Jacksonville. Stafford threw for several key touchdowns. The Lions just about doubled Jacksonville's total output, as the Lions are now 2-3 on the year. So not too horrible. 2-3. And they'll look to get another win this coming week. Patriots continue to struggle as they lose to who? So the Broncos. What was it again? Like 30-10? Oh wow, 18-12. That's like basically no touchdowns. And so combined, the two teams scored 0 touchdowns. But no one got any offensive touchdowns at all. Nope. It was like that Clarkson game that I went to a few years ago. Only at that certain game at Ford Field, that was a game where both teams scored the combined minimum, 3-2, which is the lowest possible combined minimum score in football where both teams score something. Yep. It's like a minimum wage, but it's minimum scores. You know what I mean? 3-2. That's also a baseball score or a hockey score. Maybe even tennis. You know, 3-2. You know what I mean? 3-2, 4-2. You know, or something like that. You know what I mean? Which in the world of tennis would be super close, I feel like. If it's 3-2, 3-2, that's a tie. I think. But anyhow, 18-12. And then you had, of course, the Bucks. They got themselves a nice win again. As Tom Brady is getting things figured out with his new team. I think the Bucks could be the team that wins the NFC South this year. I think there's a good chance. I think they're for real. Not like a couple of years where they looked to be on fire to start with and then they just went down the tube. Remember that when that happened? There's been teams in the past that looked hot to start and then fell down the tube. Ask the 2016 Vikes. Remember that? They looked great to start and then they flew down the tube. Ask the 2011 Lions to a degree, mind you. That one was more to a degree, though. Yeah, ask Vic. One year he started out so good, and then he just flew down the tube the rest of the season. He just flies right down, and he just flew right down the tube. And I know of some Midland teams who have done that to a degree. Which, by the way, speaking of Midland, on Friday night you had the Midland Comics taking on the Flint Common Ainsworth Cavaliers at Midland Stadium Friday night, and Midland gets the big win. 44-6. 44-6. Over the Cummings was. At halftime, it was a mere 16-0 which is, which kind of means, you know, you could, you, if it's 15-0 at halftime, that can mean, you know, that maybe the Midland's a lot better. Maybe it was just the defense had been playing Midland a little bit tough, wasn't letting Midland do everything they wanted. But then they put up 28 points in the second half, and Inglewood put up 6 with an extra point blocked. So for the Midland remains 5-0. Obviously guaranteeing a 4th winning season in a row after, you know, the little debacle a few years back where 2014 we had a losing season after having 37 consecutive, and then 2015 where we had just the one, and then 2016 where we had another losing season. But now we're back to 4 winning seasons in a row, 4 playoff berths in a row. Mind you, this year everyone gets in due to the shortened season. But they would have got in regardless, I think, if they had a 9-game season. And I would have been played and based on playoff points. Emily and I didn't get tickets in time, but I did get to watch from the outside, and I have to say, the band was doing what they do best. They were rocking it out. And they were, you know, Drumline was doing what they do best. It was still, you know, a nice. And, of course, Al Money threw for a couple touchdowns, ran for a couple more, doing great things for the Chemics, who will now play Dow High on Friday night at Midland Community Stadium. Dow High, on the other hand, Dow got shut out for the first time in years. For the first time in years, Dow was shut out, but was subjugated by the Mount Pleasant Orioles 21-0. That game honestly could have been a 35-14 game. But instead it was 21-0. There were times that Mount Pleasant, opportunities that Mount Pleasant had to score that they didn't. There were also a couple opportunities that Dow had, and they were unable to score points. But safe to say it was a decisive win by Mount Pleasant. What does that do for Friday and my pick? Well, you'll have to find out on Wednesday when I make it. I will give you a couple observations. Observation one, head-to-head matchups. Midland 42, Dow 21. No, Midland 42, Mount Pleasant 21. And that was Midland versus Mount Pleasant a couple of weeks ago. In the Dow Mount Pleasant game, of course, that was 21-0 Mount Pleasant. So the similarity there is that in both cases, Mount Pleasant was allowed 21 points. But in the Midland game, Mount Pleasant gave up 42 points. But in the Dow game, Mount Pleasant did not give up any. makes you wonder there. Was Mount Pleasant's defense better? Or was Dow's offense possibly missing a couple guys still? Or maybe they were hurt or something. So though it can be easy to say, it means it'll probably be a blowout win for Midland. Not necessarily when you look at the point that when you look at how many points Midland gave up to Mount Pleasant and then how many points Dow gave up to Mount Pleasant, that's the same. However, I will say, and the other incidences this year that Midland and Dow had common opponents, in all those cases, Midland gave up fewer points than Dow and scored more. They gave up fewer and scored more. So that favors Midland. But head to head, defense, how many points did you allow to Mount Pleasant? That was a tie. Based on Midland Dow offense, that favors Midland. So if you see what I mean, like basically every indication except for one favors Midland, which makes sense, right? So we'll have to see. And of course, I use facts and figures to help me make predictions, which I think makes sense. That game will be Friday night, 7:00. I'll be there one way or another. Inside, outside. Depends on if I can get tickets or not. Even if not, I'll be outside right next to that fence. And I'm really hoping that both bands are going to be there. I really am. Because I'm ready for some good, more good, band stuff. As they always, they always keep it going good. They always do. And after that, both teams will advance into the playoffs. And districts this time have already been prearranged. Midland and Dow will both be in the same district, containing teams with the likes of Flushing and Flint Common, Ainsworth, Saginaw Heritage, Swartz Creek, Alpena, Traverse City. What? Why do you throw MHSAA? Why do you throw Traverse City in the same region and district as Flint? And then later in regionals, a couple Detroit teams. That doesn't make any sense, does it? You would think that even if everyone made it, even in a year that everyone makes it, you would think that somehow it would totally even out, that everyone went where they would go where they belonged. You know what I mean? Because I've complained about when Midlands went Division One when they shouldn't. I mean Region One when they shouldn't. And this time these districts are numbered weird. But on map I will continue to call this Region Number Two because it looks the same except for, having Traverse City in it and having more other teams in it. It looks like what a Division II region two should look like, with, you know, a couple of walled lakes and things like that. And then of course we would play the winner of what would be Region One for semifinals, and then another Detroit team from 3 or 4 for state final. So they will not be pairings on Sunday like how there have been in the past. And obviously in the future, we won't know if we make the playoffs until after the regular season is done. And obviously, the top 64 teams from each division will be the top 64 based on playoff points will be the ones who make it. And then divided into your regions, which I was told that the divisions will be prearranged. Do you bet that means that the regions will somehow be pre-mapped, or not necessarily? Not necessarily. So who knows whether or not they'll be pre-mapped? But we'll have to wait and see. But let me just check my. And some other good news is that college football in the Big Ten college football starts up this weekend too. And I can't wait to talk about on Wednesday night, make my predictions for Michigan and Michigan State.
Yeah.
And I figured tomorrow night I'll talk about Michigan. and Michigan State. It'll be your college football preview tomorrow night. And as for how did we do on picks? 4 out of 4 correct. Because I did not feel good about Dow beating Mount Pleasant. That was a struggle to get that done last year, but they did it. This year I didn't see it. I had every reason to believe Midland would beat Ainsworth. They did. I honestly thought that Lions would beat the Jags. They did. And then I figured that the Bucks would win their game. They did. And so we had 4 for 4. And we've been doing very well on the picks this year. Very well. I wonder if part of that's because of the shortened high school football season, that it hasn't thrown me as many curveballs. Because usually in a 9-game season, you're bound to have a curveball, right? Whereas something doesn't go as planned. God first, God always. So long, everybody.